Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's no mystery, it's no secret that God makes his creation good and very good. That God is the one that separates light from the darkness. And on January 6th, little over 2,000 years ago, a light shone in the darkness. Now, it probably wasn't literally January 6th when the wise men did make that trek, but it is the day that the church celebrates this manifestation of the divine, that these men come from the east seeing a star shine, that they had read the signs, they had come to find the newborn king. It's no secret that the devil takes God's good creation and twists it and tries to make the inverse, perverting it. I've heard over the last 3 years that January 6th is the darkest day in our nation's history. That's what the devil does, though, doesn't he? He tells lies. He inverts what God has made and declared good, and he tries to destroy. I don't truly believe, of course, that that was the darkest day in our nation's history. However, I do see the light that used to shine so brightly from that city on a hill growing dimmer and dimmer. Not because Jesus has grown dimmer, but because we have put things in the way of his light. Jesus came to save the whole world. On December 25th, we celebrated our Lord's birth. But we see in the scriptures that first, this revelation of the Messiah is given to the Jews. That the angel goes and proclaims, and then a whole host of angels proclaim to these shepherds, these Jewish shepherds out keeping watch over their flock by night, that the Messiah that they had spent their entire life praying for had come. And so filled with the joy of that truth, they went into the cities and proclaimed everywhere they could, the Messiah is born. We have seen him with our own eyes. Rejoice, sing out. These wise men are the Gentiles who were once far off. They are the Gentiles prophesied of by Isaiah himself. You heard those words. The multitude of camels shall cover your land, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. January 6th is a day throughout the Christendom where we celebrate again our Lord's birth for us. And while the devil does try to pervert with his darkness, this light shines brighter. The wise men followed a star, and eventually it led them to the king's palace, to Herod's palace, a palace that he had claimed for himself almost as a mockery of the kingdom once established by God with David. A mockery, because this man desired all authority, all power for himself. A man who would actually order the murder of his own son for fear that he would overthrow him. This Herod sits comfortably in that house, in that palace, and tells lies recorded right in Scripture. The wise men have come to the palace. They are seeking the one who is born king of the Jews. They have long heard of its telling. And so Herod tells them, just wait here. Let's find out where he was to be born. And so he goes and he gathers his scribes and his prophets, and he hears from these scribes, these men who have devoted themselves to the word of the Lord, where is this to take place? And they read from the scroll from Micah. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. This house of bread is the place where the Messiah has been born. And so the wise men hear this, and Herod says, once you find him, send word to me. I too want to pay homage to him. I too want to come and worship him. But Herod, the liar, the deceiver, the murderer, has death on his mind. No one can challenge his reign. So the wise men go, and the star appears again. There's a lot of debate by theologians what this star is. Some say it's an aligning of the planets. Some say it's a supernatural star. Some say that it's an angel of the Lord shining the brightness of the Lord. I don't know which one of those it is. I'm fine with any of them. But the fact is that there was a light sent by God to show them where to go. But it's not just the miracle of a light. You heard what God does. He makes us dig into his scriptures. He makes us look to his word, not just miracles and signs out there, but we look to his word for salvation and the truth. And now they go again. St. Matthew is very clear that the wise men enter the house in which the woman and her child and her husband are. They go into the house, not the stable, but the place where they are now staying. And these wise men are so filled with wisdom, wisdom that has come from outside of themselves, that when they see this young boy, less than 2 years of age, they fall down on their faces and they worship him. Because when you are in the presence of the King of Kings, there is no way you can stand, because he is holy and we are not. And so they genuflect, they prostrate themselves before the King of Kings. And they give this woman, this lowly handmaiden of the Lord, they give her gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These are beautiful gifts. They are kingly gifts. They are gifts fit for the King of Kings. They are gifts fit for the full deity of the Godhead. Because this is no ordinary king. This is no ordinary young boy. This is God in the flesh. This is his divine manifestation. The star leads the way because Jesus Christ is the light of the world. The light that has come into the world. And so they worship him. They worship the prophet, the priest, and the king. They lay before him gifts, foretelling of what he would do. That he is the king. That incense is to be burned in worship as we have our prayers rise before the heavens. That this frankincense is worthy, as God had set up in his old covenant, that he has set apart the burning of incense to his holy name. We see John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, burning incense in the temple as he is praying to God Almighty that the Messiah would come. We see incense burning in the Psalter as we sing during the Order of Vespers, "Let my prayer rise before you as incense." And we see in Revelation, in the day that is yet to come, the prayers of the saints once again rising before God in heaven on incense. It is fitting to burn incense in our prayers, in our worship. Myrrh, of course, is used to anoint those who die. This foretells of what this baby boy is going to do for the world. That he was born for the purpose of dying, for the sins of those wise men, for the sins of the Jews, for the sins of the virgin woman that was there before them, for sinners like you and me, this boy was going to die. Herod would have seen it come quickly. Herod had every intention of snuffing out this life, and God was not ready. No, this boy would be protected by God's right hand. First of all, an angel would be sent from him to tell the wise men not to go back to Herod, but to go to their own country another way. And then when Herod became angry, realizing that he was duped, he sent soldiers to murder every boy child 2 years of age and under throughout all of Bethlehem. That is the bloodthirstiness of this man. And sadly, we still see bloodthirstiness that would murder children still today. But God delivered this boy. For God sent his angel to proclaim to the man that God had selected to be the earthly caretaker, the guardian, the adoptive father of Jesus. And he tells him to take the child and his mother and to go to Egypt. For out of Egypt he would call his son to do the most beautiful thing in the whole world. The most divine manifestation there is, that even though this Jesus would be hung to a cross, have the entirety of the sins weighed down upon him from that cross, that on the third day, not even death could contain him. This Jesus would rise from the dead. He would rise after his body had been anointed for burial, and he would never die again. So that all who would confess the name of Jesus, and not just with the historical knowledge of a man who lived, but with their lips, with their heart, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that this Jesus is Lord, this Jesus is King, he is our prophet, priest, and king, and he reigns for all eternity, he is seated on the throne, and he's coming, he is going to return and take us to be with him. That is the joy that we as Christians still have on this, the Epiphany. One of the brightest days in all of history. Not Herod, not the devil, not the world could snuff out that light. And so as the church gathers this night throughout the world, we rejoice in the Messiah who has come for us. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile, that he has saved us out of the wretchedness of our sins, that he has put us on the path not of death, but of life. And so we gather around this prophet, this priest, this king, this very night, as he feeds us with his own body and blood, in with and under the bread and wine. That we as sinners approach his table unworthily, we cry out for his mercy, he gives us forgiveness, and says, take and eat. Drink of it, all of you who would come to my table, united in doctrine, united in a confession. When we receive it, we receive his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, the strengthening of our faith, and medicine of immortality. It is fitting that wise men still seek him. It is fitting that we will kneel before his throne to receive his body and blood, those who are able to get back up. It is fitting that we have come in the darkness of out there into his marvelous light, that he reveals himself to us once again, and that he says, dear son, you are mine. I have claimed you. Nothing can separate you from me. And so the church sings, what joy to know when life is past. The Lord we love is first and last, the end and the beginning. He will one day, O glorious grace, transport us to that happy place beyond all tears and sinning. Amen, amen, come Lord Jesus, crown of gladness, we are yearning for the day of your return. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.